Hey everybody, welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show with your host, me, intuitive astrologer Jamie Dawn. I'm going to nickname myself the Nomad Crab because I am a Cancer sun, and I just thought it would be fun because I like following my nose and the stars to bring you the latest energetic and astrological updates. And this show is going to have a particular emphasis on relationships. I'll get to that. So first of all, I'm back. Those of you who have known me over the years, I've been with One Two Listen now for, this is going on my 13th year. I think it's a very appropriate number. And the fact that this show is actually being launched right around my year anniversary, I'm super excited. And I had a radio show, the Jamie Dawn Show, for about 8 years previously, took a little break. Now I'm back and I'm so excited. And I just have to say that life makes its twists and turns, and there's lots of things that have been going on for me over the years. I've moved across country and went through divorce, and my children got married, and my son just had my first grandchild. My daughter and her husband have moved out here. They eloped. It was so much fun to celebrate that. And for those of you who aren't sure where I am right now, I'm in Reno, Nevada, and I have an office also in Las Vegas. And of course, I'm here with you at One Two Radio and on One Two Listen. I have my YouTube channel. And one thing that you want to make sure you do, if you haven't signed up for announcements, newsletter, things like that at One Two Listen, you can do so when you go to the page and just put your email address in. Remember, everything's confidential. There's a gratitude board and that we are all monitoring. There's great advisors. There's more wonderful shows here on One Two Radio, as you know. And just so you know that these shows, I'm going to give you all this intro stuff here, that my shows are pre-recorded. I need a little bit of that freedom to be able to not always be available at my desk from on Mondays at 11 a.m., but the show will air on Mondays here at 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm still a staff director for Nine Gates Mystery School. I've been part of them for 12 years now. And it's just something that's near and dear to my heart. We are passionate about deepening our practices and using our tools to continue to ease suffering in the world, as well as to become more aware, more awake, and more kind. That's the point, as one of Rinpoche has said to us. And so some things that you can look forward to, hopefully expect on this show in particular. Like I say, the emphasis is going to be on relationships, but I'm going to talk about what's happening astrologically and as the week is presenting to us. I'm also going to offer at the beginning something that opens the heart, because one of the things that I want to cultivate as you listen to this show is that you can truly sit and or work or walk around and listen, whatever, however you choose in your method, that you're able to just rest into the heart. Now, why the heart? Because the heart is the organ of perception. And those of you who are familiar with HeartMath Institute, they've done tons of research about how the heart field can actually extend and influence and expand. And of course, contract if we're feeling threatened or closed off, that sort of thing. And so, what I want to do is, I want to offer an open-hearted space for us to be able to deepen our connection to ourselves, first and foremost, to deepen our trust in ourselves, to allow ourselves to just be in a place where we can become love itself. And I'm not talking about ego love, personality love. I'm talking about what love itself is, which is not an easy place for us humans who have been tainted, traumatized. Life is just throwing all kinds of shit at us. It's not easy. And so maybe as you listen to this show, I'll offer, like I say, some insights, some practices, some things you can, for just a moment, feel what love without present personality, without ego, without agenda might feel like and might be like. Maybe there's something that you can use as you go about this week. Remember, life is a grand experiment. That's my philosophy. We're just going to add different ingredients to see what works. And I'll have guests on my show as well. As a matter of fact, my next show, the The second show is going to have my lovely brother from another mother, Oliver Guttorm, who you are familiar with, hopefully, as he is part of 1-2 Radio and 1-2 Listen. And Oliver and I have known each other since I started at 1-2 Listen. He was actually my radio show producer at that time. And he had me on his show, and it was just a love affair from the very beginning. So I couldn't think of anybody better to have on my show. And the second episode, than someone who continues to help me stay in the heart. So, looking forward to that one next week. Another thing I'll offer, even though these shows are pre-recorded, I am happy to offer readings, little intuitive insights and hits at the end of each show if you would like. So, if you have a question, something that you are pondering, you want some advice, whatever it might be, then please reach out. You can message me through Click for Advisor. You can email me, jamie@jamiedawn.com, and I'm happy to offer the insights that I receive on air for you. And let's see, are there any other announcements? Oh, yes. So some of the other things that you hopefully are, like I say, if you haven't signed up for the newsletters yet, the announcements, please do so. But we're having sales on a pretty regular basis, Sundays, Wednesdays, if there's a new moon, full moon, sometimes if there is a Mercury retrograde, which we won't have another one until March, April time, which actually is a big deal around that time as well, because we have eclipses during that, just at the setup of the Mercury retrograde. But I'll talk about that as we get closer to that time. And I think that does it for the announcements for now. Let me start with the quote or poetry, if you will, for contemplation. And allow yourself to just settle in for a moment. Maybe if you can, you can sit up a little bit straighter, stand a little straighter. And the invitation is just to close your eyes for a moment. The reason I invite the closed eyes is because it invites the mind into stillness. And when we're in stillness, we're able to open the heart that much more and listen from a place not of the mind, but of the heart. And so the poetry comes from David White today. And yes, it has a human personality expression to it. But if we go deeper, how could we apply this from the non-dual, the non-personality of love itself? So here we go. Just a little excerpt. And it's from The Sea in You. The poem, beginning of the poem is this. There is a faith in loving fiercely, the one who is rightfully yours, especially if you have waited years, and especially if part of you never believed you deserved this love and beckoning hand held out to you in this way. So there you go. Just breathe that in for a moment. And as I say, go a little bit deeper. How could this apply to you without another person involved? There's a faith in loving fiercely, the one who is rightfully yours. Are you rightfully yours? You have a right to be here. You have a right to be in this human form. You are valuable. You matter. And sometimes, so the next line says, especially if you have waited years, and especially a part of you never believed you could deserve this loved and beckoning hand held out to you in this way. How often do we as human beings try and reach out to ourselves and say, help me? Help me. We forget to love ourselves. We forget that all these years we have been crying out to connect with our deeper self, our true essence. But when we do, when we finally get there, when we have that glimmer, that moment of, aha, there I am, it's pretty precious. All right. So, what is happening in the week ahead? Well, we are now officially, when this episode airs, we are officially in Aquarius season. And the sun will have moved ingressed into the sign of Aquarius, where It's said to be at its fall because the sun is the ruler of Leo, and Aquarius is opposite Leo. And so when the sun is in its opposition sign, it tends to be at the fall because it doesn't have the same, it's like going into the underworld, if you will. It's got the shadowy part to it. However, the sun in Aquarius invites us to go into the mind, into the things that we know or we think we know, and innovate it because Aquarius is ruled by the planet Uranus. Now, traditionally, it's ruled by Saturn. So we have a co-ruler here in Aquarius. We have Saturn and Uranus. And so with Saturn, right, Saturn consolidates its structure, its boundaries. It allows us to take something intangible and make it concrete. It has this feeling to it, heaviness, because it's reality. Well, then you add in Uranus, which says, let's break the rules, let's make rules and then break them, right? And Uranus says, why are we breaking these rules? Because they don't serve us any longer. And so we may be finding ourselves looking at, let's say, our New Year's resolutions or the goals we set up at the beginning of the year or whatever, and saying, okay, I disciplined myself during the Capricorn season to start achieving certain things in my life. Well, now I'm looking at that going, does that still serve me? I know it's only been maybe a month, but does it still work? Maybe it's not working. Remember, it's a grand experiment. You're just going to add ingredients, right? Now, the temptation with the Aquarius energy is that we create change just for the sake of change. And that it doesn't always serve. Now, Aquarius is also a fixed sign. So if you think about it from the elemental quality or the cardinal, or excuse me, the quality of a fixed sign. We have cardinal, which starts off the season, right? So you're Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. We're kicking off a season. Well, the fixed signs, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, now Aquarius, it consolidates. It anchors in. It wants to manifest. It wants to make it something tangible that we can actually use. And it gets it like the word fixed. It feels structure. It feels like it's static. It's not going to move. And anybody who has a lot of fixed energy in their chart most likely meets or brings resistance to change for the sake of change, brings resistance to change at first, because why change something if it's not broken, right? So all these wonderful ingredients are added in as we are starting off this week, and we're starting to look at, okay, what's working? Do we continue to play by those rules, or do we start to innovate them? Because not only do we have the sun in Aquarius, but the big announcement is Pluto in the sign of Aquarius. And I'm actually going to offer you in this show the Pluto by the house. So if you know your chart, and you can get a free chart anywhere, you can certainly reach out to me with your date of birth, your time, and your place of birth, and I can pull your chart and offer it to you for free as well. But if you have your chart in front of you or you know your chart, look and see where Pluto, which in some of the glyphs, it looks like a P, depending on which application you're using. Others, it looks like a satellite. It's got a crescent moon with a circle right in the middle of the crescent moon, and then the cross of matter coming down from the crescent moon. And so when you look at your chart and you identify where Pluto is in your chart, it'll indicate which house it's in. Now, look for where Aquarius is, which the glyph for Aquarius looks like two, what do you call it, waves of water, okay, stacked on top of each other. And so, because Aquarius is considered the water bearer, that is the symbol for it. And the reason, I just want to clarify this for the Aquarius nature and the water bearer, yes, Aquarius is an air sign, but the water bearer, it's like having intuition in the air. It's like taking a spritzer bottle and spritzing your plant. That's how intuition flows. And Aquarius, so you've got the air, if you will, the mind and intuition coming in, the water. And it's sharing. I know these things, right? Aquarius is very much of the intellectual. It very much of a, I know what I know. And yes, the shadow side, of course, is that you can tip over into the know-it-all and the stubbornness of a fixed energy. And when there's a cause, let's use the Uranus rebellion kind of innovative breakthrough, if you will, energy. When you're dealing with something like that, it can lead to a revolt or a rebellion that really is, I'll say, extremist. It could become extremist. So we just have to watch out for that, which another, I'm going to caveat off into another little spot for a second, a little announcement, but you can go to my website, jamiedawn.com. I'm producing the light and shadow reports now. So it gives you a monthly overview, kind of a general overview of what's happening in the sky. And I'm offering it to you from the positive and the negative side of it. And hopefully it gives you some things that you can think about that you can use, pay attention to, that sort of thing. And also here at One to Listen, as well as on my my social media, I post new and full moon effects by sign. So if you're looking at, let's say we have a we had a full moon in Leo, we've got new moon in Aquarius, I'll be posting how it could affect you. You want to look at your sun, moon, and rising sign when you are reading those kinds of things. Okay, so circling back to Pluto, I'm going to offer it, as I was talking about in your chart, I'm going to offer it when you look at the Aquarius ruled house, okay, where Pluto is ingressing into that house, how it may affect you, how it may show up and activate that particular area for the next 19 years. So Pluto stays in a sign for quite some time. And I know a lot of you Capricorns, if you have a Cap sun, rising, or moon, you're exhaling right now because you've been through hell and back and you are forever changed because Pluto is basically transform or die, right? Surrender. And it's a place where we look at where we feel powerless or we feel powerful, places where we can offer, the deeper parts of us, the more profound parts of us that we didn't even know existed. So those kinds of things. Now, the other thing that I'm going to offer here is we've got Venus ingressing into the sign of Capricorn and Uranus direct now in Taurus. So these are some things, how does this all relate to relationships? I'll get to that. So here we have Venus ingressing into Capricorn. Venus is all about relationships. It's the give and receive. It's a love language. It's how we express love. It's how we feel we receive love. And in the sign of Capricorn, we tend to take things more seriously. We are looking at our relationships in a way that says, are you somebody I can plan a future with? We need goals. We can't just sit here and have this casual, lighthearted, fun thing that we had in Sagittarius. You know, where we're exploring what the relationship's like, what do we do for fun, what kind of adventure can we go on? Maybe it got adventurous in the bedroom. Well, guess what? Now I'm ready for something more serious. I want to move in. I want to know that we're planning a family. I want to know that we're maybe buying a house together. You name it. We're going to be setting goals, right? And this doesn't apply just to love relationships. It's any relationship. It could be friendship. It could be work related. But basically, I'm going to want to know how I achieve what I'm achieving with you. Are we on the same page? Does this, still work for us? And so we're going to be exploring that when Venus is in the sign of Capricorn, because when she moves into the sign of Aquarius, Venus and Mars are going to be canoodling a bit. And I use the word canoodling instead of conjunct. But Venus and Mars is our planet of drive and passion, sex. It's how we get things done. It can also be the aggressor. And when you've got these two planets, and I'll talk more about it on another show, when you've got these two planets in Aquarius, guess what? We're going to be working with the head and heart. Yeah. And we're going to be looking at ways in which we maybe overthink things and that sort of thing. But for now, let's stick with the Capricorn energy. And where Venus is in your chart in Capricorn, then you may be looking at ways, let's say first house, you're looking at ways in which you feel you show up in the world. Remember, the first house is our mask that we wear. It's the personality that we have decided to express. It's very often how we approach new things and new people, new situations. It's also how we feel we want to present ourselves to the world and to others. And so when you've got Venus in that first house, we're going to be in Capricorn, we're going to be looking at ways in which we can show up better. Image is important. How does our relationship with others show up? We'll just take things maybe ourselves a little too seriously. But we're also, when I say image is important, maybe looking at ways in which we are changing how we're perceived, right? So if we want to look like we are fun and flirty, we're going to probably change our hair and change our makeup if you wear makeup, or change your clothing style, things like that. And maybe we want to show up a little bit more stoic. Maybe, we get back to the boardroom kind of view, right? So anyways, so there's all kinds of things that can show up there. Now, one of the things that I'll offer intuitively is that I do feel like relationships in general have a tendency to be more of a, during this time, more of achievement oriented. And so when we give and receive love or expressions of fondness, like I say, we can apply this to business, right? So if you're with a business partner, you may say, in order for me to feel that this business partner is aligned or that they like me, or this coworker and I get along, well, I need them to show me, to not talk, but do like acts of service or acts of kindness or getting things done. Right, where it's a lot of excuse me, don't talk, just do when we're in this place. Now, the other thing we have to pay attention to with Venus in Capricorn is that the shadow side of it is we have a tendency, and Venus rules, it's a feminine planet, but we may have a tendency to disparage or step on, use. There's a user kind of mentality here with Venus in Capricorn, a feminine quality, a female in power. Maybe we're female and we're trying to climb the ladder and we stop at nothing to achieve that. And it means that we end up hurting somebody in the process. But being the optimist that I am, I'm hoping that we keep that in the back of our mind and we take a step back and we say, okay, wait a minute. Can I achieve whatever it is I'm looking for without manipulating, without harming another individual? Because remember, especially when we're working in the heart, there is this devoted part, there's this sacrificial part, not martyrdom, but there is a sacrifice that we offer for the greater good. And that's where the Aquarian energy is going to be beneficial for us, because we're looking at this from the humanitarian aspect. Because one of the other things about Aquarius energy is it's all about equality and fairness. It's very complementary to Libra energy in that, needing balance and diplomacy. But for Aquarius, it really is about humanity and what's the greater good. And so we can use this time to look at the bigger picture. And with Uranus now direct in Taurus as well, we're going to be looking at, because remember, Uranus is the ruler, co-ruler of Aquarius. And Uranus is now at moving at full force in the sign of Taurus, saying, how can I take something tangible, something that maybe has to do with my basic needs, food, resources? It's very earthy, right? How can I take these and innovate them, find new ways in which I can be of benefit to the greater good? And so you have this complement with Venus and Capricorn. We got these two earth signs that, as we're working with others, we can keep that bigger picture in mind and find ways in which we can innovate how we used to achieve our goals. Maybe we need to do it differently. Again, changing the rules, right? Nothing wrong with that. So I'm going to circle now as we're getting towards the end of the show, or towards a little bit of time left here. back to Pluto in the houses and offer some things for you here. So remember, Pluto in the houses is all about our relationships. So what we're going to be focusing on in this show, right? Like I say, the emphasis is relationships. What we're focusing on is relationship for the Pluto energy to power, to our relationship to control or our idea of what control is, our relationship to our fears, our relationship to what transformation actually is. What is our relationship to all these things, right? And so Pluto in the houses, in our first house, when Pluto's transiting, it often triggers transformations of self-discovery. We're going in deeper into ourselves. The times here for the next few years could be challenging depending on how Pluto is applying to other planets. This is why it's good to talk to an astrologer like myself or others that want to listen to see what kind of aspects Pluto is making to, let's say, your sun, moon, or rising sign, right? Or to your Venus or to your Mars, because it gives you an idea, a theme to what you may be looking at and how it may show up. And no, I'll leave it at that. I was going to go into a little bit of astrology mindset, but I'll just keep going here. And maybe in the next show, talk a little bit more about astrology and what you can kind of look at. So, anyways, with Pluto in this first house, the challenge, we might be pushed to confront our deepest fears, face our shadows, our own shadows. Are they made up? Are they our shadows? Are they somebody else's shadows? Are we very often with this first house, we're taking on how others perceive us, right? Because it's sitting opposite the seventh house, which is relationships and others. And very often we are facing fears because we've gotten criticism or feedback from others saying, well, this is how you've been showing up. Oh God, what do I do there? Oh, I don't want somebody to think that of me. I don't want them to think I'm a bitch. Guess what? We all can be a bitch sometimes. You own it. One of the things I will say about Pluto, and Pluto was crossing my ascendant for the last few years. I have a Capricorn rising, so thank God Pluto has now moved out of that. But I can tell you, I had to face fears about myself and how I was perceived, and and really going deeper into some of that shadow work. And it's not comfortable. I'm just saying, it is not comfortable. But one of the gifts was I have really started to embrace owning all of that shadow work. In other words, our shadow side is part of us. It's part of our experience in this lifetime because unfortunately we've all been shit on in some way, shape, or form, and we took it on as our truth. And then we try and disown that shadow part. And guess what? It's about integrating it. It's about using it. How do I turn what could be a weapon into a tool? How can I use it? How does my insecurity serve me? How does my arrogance serve me? Yeah. And then finding the benefit, how is it serving me, and turning it into a tool that I can use to help others, to help myself, to heal. So think about that with Pluto in the first house, is that our shadows may show up and present an opportunity for real profound personal growth and renewal. There's also where we may be dismantling old structures and belief systems. So it's a time to be like the snake. Shed some skin, find yourself on the other side when Pluto has stopped applying to your rising sign. When it's moved on the other side, you will find, hopefully, a willingness to embrace the change. The other thing is with Pluto in that first house, you have to embrace the unknown. I mean, that's part of life. There's always that great mystery, right? So, second house, when Pluto's transiting the second house, it can bring really intense and transformative experiences relating to what we own, our self-worth, money, income. There could be financial changes, both positive and negative. You could have a windfall, you could have a loss. There's extremes when Pluto's involved. Now, here's the key as Pluto's transiting the second house. When you get the windfall, I remember the, now I don't believe that the Bible is true. I think there's bits and pieces. It's a very historical book. And if that offends someone, well, check in with yourself and own that part of the shadow. So, but there's a story in there about Joseph. in the Old Testament. And Joseph was an advisor to Pharaoh in Egypt. And he told Pharaoh, hey, you're going to have 7 years of famine and 7 years of feast. And during that 7 years of feast, you need to store up all the grains for the 7 years of famine. And that's where some of the pyramids were built and some of the storage houses and all that. And so they had these 7 years of great luck, right? And what's funny is if you look at cycles, Uranus transits a sign every 7 years. And right now we're in the sign of Taurus, which has to do with food, grain, supplies, resources, that sort of thing. And so anyways, so are we in a, I feel we're in a 7 year famine cycle, to be honest with you. Look at the price of food and gas, but I digress. So anyway, so Joseph says to Pharaoh, hey, you need to store up so that when these 7 years of famine kick in, we have enough to feed the people. And that's what they did. And Egypt thrived and was able to take care of those 7 years where they didn't have the harvest and they didn't have the good luck. So think about it that way, that with Pluto in the second house, that's the kind of energy that you're going to be looking with. So when you get that windfall, invest it wisely. When you get that job promotion that comes with a pay increase, take that pay increase and squirrel it away. Don't change your lifestyle because you received all this gift, right? Because there will be a cycle, there will be a time where things dry up and you're not able to provide and have that same lifestyle that you once did. So there's an adjustment there. So there's a deep transformation that happens that can lead to also a redefinition of personal values and a shift in our self-worth. And if we've tied our self-worth into how much we make or the kind of money we have, I think we're going to be severely disappointed. So let's look at where we've over-identified ourselves with things and income, that sort of thing, and see if we can't come back to our true essence, that heart space, and remember that we have value because we can be of great service. All right, Pluto in the third house can bring about shifts in our thinking patterns, our communication style. It helps to explore deeper emotions and hidden desires. It's a time where we can really do some self-reflection in the ways that we have been thinking or the things that we've been learning about. Many of us with the third house transit of Pluto, we're going to discover hidden truths. We're going to find things that maybe we didn't know we were interested in suddenly come to light. Third house also has a lot to do, when I'm looking at it, with a innovative, because it's in Aquarius, right? It's the breakthrough. This is where I can see like AI becoming even more dominant or augmented reality. There's going to be courses on computers in a way that that lead us towards more robotic stuff here with that third house. But for individuals, we may feel that we have a stronger urge to speak our truth, dive deep into topics that were once considered taboo. I think there that you may find your voice. You may be challenged to speak up, but then you're presented with these opportunities so that you can go deeper and you can speak in a way that that really gives you your power. Your voice is your power as Pluto transits that third house. And it's important to approach the transit with awareness and openness. And this is also why being in the heart is going to help you speak that truth. But we cannot open our heart and stabilize the heart if we haven't grounded deeply into ourselves and into our truth, and we really trust ourselves. So do this deep work before you start speaking a bunch of shit that could come up and out. Because remember, Pluto's like the Roto-Rooter, it can bring things up and out. All right, fourth house, Pluto transiting the fourth house. This is where our psychological, emotional transformation happens. This is where our home life gets transformed. Think of fourth house as the roots of the tree. Okay. This is where the seed was planted and now has rooted down. And so we may be forced to confront and release deep-rooted issues related to our family, our sense of security, what we thought was home, where we thought we belonged. I imagine that many of us with Pluto in the fourth house are going to be looking at breakthrough ways in which we set up our home, right? I could see a lot of people with Pluto fourth house transits having intentional communities or bringing three or four families together in one compound or one house, or just doing things. The idea of what home and family look like are going to be very different during this time. And some of it may be forced upon you because of external circumstances. Because one of the things that I want to remind us is Pluto is an external planet, outer planet. It's generational because it takes so long to transit through the sign. So anyone born in the next 19 years are going to have Pluto in Aquarius, right? Unless, I mean, Pluto transits back into Capricorn for about 2 months this year, and then that's it. But regardless, there's a generation here. So the reason I bring that up is that there's outer circumstances. This is part of what Pluto does. It brings up outer circumstances that often create the internal change and the internal transformation because we have to meet it, right? I don't think I'm going to get through all of these on this particular show. So I think I'm going to leave it here. We're going to do four houses each show until I get to the end. So we've got three more shows to do. So when I record my show with Oliver, I'll get to the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth houses for you guys with Pluto. And yeah, we're just going to keep going. Like I say, I do hope that if you want a personal reading, that you can find me at One to Listen. And if you are looking just for other ways to connect, then check out my YouTube channel, and my website has the Light and Shadow Report. I want to make sure that I offer relevant and good content for you guys, something that lifts the heart, that also inspires you, and it gives you an opportunity to feel supported. It also gives you good information and something that you can just use. So as I wrap up this show, I would like to give you a little bit more energetic pieces for what you can expect for this particular week ahead. And just like I say, I do release my Celestial Wisdom video every week, and that gives you some idea. But let me give you a little bit more because I can't cover everything all the time. And I try and keep my videos as fairly short as possible, but relevant as well. So, the other thing that we're going to be noting this week is we've got Mercury, our planet of communication, transportation, how we learn and process information and connect with others, very social, in the sign of Capricorn, canoodling or conjunct with Mars. It's not exact, but it's a pretty close enough orb, about 2 to 3 degrees with each other, Mars and Capricorn. And then of course Venus has ingressed into the sign of Capricorn. And then Pluto and the Sun are also canoodling in the sign of Aquarius. And so when we have these conjunctions, the thing that we want to pay attention to is that a conjunction is actually a hard aspect because the planets can confuse each other. We don't know if we're going to be Martian or if we're going to be Mercurial, right? It just depends on the situation and what shows up. And so when you've got this Mars and Mercury conjunction happening in the sign of Capricorn, we can use it to get things done because Mars likes being in Capricorn. It gets things done. It burns the midnight oil. And Mercury here takes the information and puts it into something useful, something that we can actually process in a planning, budgeting, step-by-step kind of way. And so this could be a great week if you need to sit down and you need to strategize and put something together that just makes sense. Let's say you want to buy a home. It's like, okay, here's the budget that I'm setting aside to start saving the money I need in order to buy this home. And I'm determined here with this Capricorn energy to stop at nothing to get this done, right? So those are some things we're thinking about. Now, how does it relate to relationships? Is that, remember when I said at the beginning, we're going to be looking more towards the practical side of the relationship, the goal-oriented side of relationships. And now we're going to put some steps in place. Okay, we talk about, deepening our relationship and going, taking it to the next level. If we move in together, when is my lease up? When is yours up? Or are we buying a house together? If so, what's our plan time frame? These are the kind of conversations that you most likely will have. Okay, it's a great time for it. Now, with the Pluto and Sun conjunction here, it's powerful. The mind is going to be extremely powerful, and intuition is going to be pretty heightened. So trust that, right? Put the intentions out there, put the ideas out there, and then just see how the body responds to it, right? And notice if anything changes, or if it doesn't feel right in the body. Remember, the body doesn't lie. If it doesn't feel right, you probably shouldn't do it, or you pause. Okay. So then we also, during this week, we'll have a lovely little sextile being set up. A sextile is a positive aspect, has to do with opportunities through a little bit of hard work, but not hard in the bad sense, more of like you want to take the opportunity and seize the day here. And we've got a sextile going on between Venus and Saturn in Pisces, Venus in Capricorn. And when you've got this sextile, then that starts to really shape up towards the weekend, is that we're going to want to take our hopes, our dreams, the things that we've imagined and maybe dreamt about and talked about in our relationships, and we want to put them into something tangible. So there's some real m good manifesting energy this week that we can do, especially now that Jupiter is direct in Taurus, and excuse me, Uranus is going to be going direct as well. So we're going to have a lot of really positive energy, all planets being direct by next week. And so we're ready to get things done. I think that's the biggest thing. So if you felt like you were a little stagnant as you started off the year, or was a little quieter, this is a great time to start seeing some of the manifestation. Also, we have a full moon in Leo, and that happens on Thursday. And so with this full moon in Leo, we're going to be releasing and hopefully having a manifestation of the things that our heart desires, right? We planted the seeds back at the new moon in Leo 6 months ago. Now we're hoping to see the manifestation of that at the full moon. And this really is about, what do we take pride in? How do we show up in a way that we feel good about, and it brings our heart's desire into fruition? So this is a big manifesting week. And hopefully you guys will be able to share some of those stories with me. Please come find me at 12listen.com, and I will look forward to connecting with you guys here on air every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Jamie Dawn Show. And like I say, my next show is going to feature my lovely brother, Oliver Guttorm. All right, you guys, I really hope that this show has resonated with you. Please come back and visit. Please stay tuned for all the other great shows that are here. And if for some reason you can't catch this on Monday at 11 a.m., there will be archives, replays, that sort of thing. All right, you guys, enjoy the week. Come find me at 12listen. I'm your host, Jamie Dawn. Take care.